Let not your heart be troubled. You are listening to the Sean Hannity Radio Show podcast. All right, so I have insomnia, but I've never slept better. And what's changed? Just a pillow. It's had such a positive impact on my life. And of course, I'm talking about MyPillow. I fall asleep faster, I stay asleep longer, and now you can too. Just go to MyPillow.com or call 800-919-6090. Use the promo code Hannity, and Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow, has the special four-pack. Now, you get 40% off two MyPillow premiums and two go-anywhere pillows. Now, MyPillow is made here in the USA, has a 60-day unconditional money-back guarantee, and a 10-year warranty. Go to MyPillow.com right now or call 800-919-6090, promo code Hannity, to get Mike Lindell's special four-pack offer. You get two MyPillow premium pillows and two go-anywhere pillows for 40% off, and that means once those pillows arrive, you start getting the kind of peaceful and restful and comfortable and deep healing and recuperative sleep that you've been craving and you certainly deserve. MyPillow.com, promo code Hannity. You will love this pillow. All right, glad you're with us. Happy Wednesday. Write down our toll-free telephone number. You want to be a part of this extravaganza. It's 800-941-SEAN. And I got to tell you, listen, if Donald Trump cured cancer, and if Donald Trump gave every American $1 million today, if Donald Trump came up with a cure that nobody would have a heart attack again, and it bought everybody in America a house, a car, and a boat, it's not going to matter because there's nothing that he can do or say that is ever going to convince the enemies of Donald Trump that he's not evil. And conservatives, this has been a percolating issue now in many, many ways. And in some ways, you got to give Trump a lot of credit. He is not going to conform into who they want him to be. He is going to be himself. And for all these decades, weak Republicans have allowed themselves. I often wonder, why don't they fight back? Why don't they fight back? Every election, 2-4 years, elect Republicans, black churches will burn. You know, Republicans have the wrong agenda for African Americans. They don't even want to count you as people in the census. And it goes on and on and on. And it's like my father was killed all over again. I won't play all of that now. And we have on this program, we have gone through and we have outlined everything that happened and the timeline in terms of what the president had said about the incident in Charlottesville. And it didn't matter. It doesn't matter that we have tape of the president in 1991, you know, condemning, disavowing, you know, being repulsed by, you know, white supremacism, the KKK and David Duke. It doesn't matter that we have them in 2000 doing it. There's nothing, you know, now that Russia is dead. Now it's got to be racism. And when the president goes on and talks at length yesterday and last night about how it's like, do you want to make America great again? Do you know what the New York Times, Washington Post, NBC, ABC, CBS, CNN, NBC, Jeff Zucker's network, Phil Griffin and Andy Lack's network never do? You know, for all the great monopoly of compassion that liberals have for the downtrodden, for those that have suffered and those that are discriminated against, it's a phony narrative. And for decades, they've gotten away with Republicans are racist, Republicans are sexist, Republicans and conservatives are all of these horrible things, xenophobic, homophobic, Islamophobic. It has always been and continues to be a great lie. Here is a fact. Media is dead in this country. Not only are they dead, they are now an extension of the alt-left radical ideology of many. They're not news organizations anymore. When have they ever discussed, when did they ever tell you about the 50 million Americans in poverty, the 50 million Americans on food stamps? When did they ever tell you that under the Obama years, we have 13 million more Americans on food stamps, 8 million more Americans in poverty, lowest labor participation rate since the 70s, lowest home ownership rate in 51 years. When have they ever told you about the great Democratic lie, keep your doctor, keep your plan, on average save Americans $2,500 per year? When do they ever offer solutions that are going to make the lives of the American people better? Never. It is a fixation of focus that I have never seen before, unprecedented in this country's history, to destroy one man and to do it with lies, totally ignoring truth, totally ignoring one's life, one's comments, one's the way one has behaved. You know, I for the life of me, these are the most interesting times. I have concluded after last night, after the president's speech, now, I'm going to tell you why, and I know he went long with the whole issue of the media. And I know some of you say, why is he going so long on the issue of the media? Why? Because I'm going to tell you why. You know what? If you're a good person and you have a heart and you have a soul and you have a conscience and your life has not been one of racism and you built businesses and you've hired minorities and you've spoken out against the repugnance, what is something that is morally repugnant like racism. And you've spoken out again and again. Just in the last election, how many times has he spoken out again and 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 again? And so it's never going to be enough times. It's never going to be said the right way. It's never going to identify every single group, every single time they want it, that's ever going to satisfy a group of people that are out to destroy him. And that's exactly what those are the conditions we now live in. And I only ask you to put yourself in his position in this sense. If you're called a racist and you know darn well you're not a racist, well, you're going to fight back for your honor, for your character, for your reputation, because this narrative that they keep pushing and the lies they keep telling and the false story and the incomplete story has done damage to him, and he's not going to sit idly by. And if you're a good person with a good heart, a good soul, good conscience, you believe in God, you believe that God created everybody, you know, there's got to be a reason that the Ten Commandments, one of them is thou shalt not bear false witness, because it's so devastating and it's so damaging and it's so hurtful, and it literally isolates and ostracizes an individual from society. So in terms of the president pointing out his history as it related specifically to Charlottesville, we on this program going over the life history that we could find, and we didn't even have to try hard and put in perspective and context how many times Donald Trump, rightly, because racism is evil. It's repugnant. White supremacy is evil. It's repugnant. And good people have a natural revulsion at the very thought of these things. And that's why being called it unfairly somebody needs to fight back. And we've tried in our own way to tell the truth, which the media doesn't do. The media lies. You know, now we've got this whole 25th Amendment is the unfit for office. So the president turns around last night and he goes on offense and he defends himself, his name, his honor, his reputation, and gives facts out that the media should have done themselves, which they didn't do. Outright lies. I've been calling them the destroy Trump, alt-left destroy Trump media. They are. And now, after being called out by the president, your biased press in this country, your ideological left-wing press, was in a complete meltdown last night. It is unlike anything I've ever seen before in my life, and my passion has been politics my entire adult life. And I've got the greatest video and audio montages to make my point in the course of the day today as we kick things off, and the media is having a collective emotional breakdown. I was watching TV last night and this morning. It's almost like it was November 8th when the news was coming that Trump won, almost like November 9th when it was, you know, tired and they could barely accept the truth and reality and the verdict of the American people. And it's just important that somebody tell you the truth. Somebody set the record straight. somebody expose this corruption. Now, we know that the media colluded in the case of it was exposed during WikiLeaks. We know that they've got an ideological bent. We know that there's zero evidence proof of this Russia collusion narrative that they have been pushing. So at the rally, the president unloaded on them, and for good reason. This is nothing but pure lying propaganda, and that they're nothing other than an arm of the radical leftist movement in this country. And as soon as the president dared to call them out for their lies, their incomplete, their biased coverage, well, it sent the people I've always described as lazy, overpaid, radically ideological in terms of the media. They can't handle being hit back. They can't handle having done to them what they do to other people. And so let's just start with CNN and some of the other media and how they react. This is the second that Donald Trump got off the stage last night.
What we have witnessed was a total eclipse of the facts. Someone who came out on stage and lied directly to the American people and left things out that he said in an attempt to rewrite history, especially when it comes to Charlottesville. He's unhinged. It's embarrassing. And I don't mean for us, the media, because he went after us, but for the country. This is who we elected president of the United States.
And I don't know when I've listened and watched something like this from a president that I found more disturbing, extremely disturbing.
Are you questioning his fitness?
Yes, I do.
Willie Geist, the lack of discipline is just simply extraordinary. You just have to stop and think. And this is going to sound personal. I don't mean it to be personal, but our children have more discipline than this man has.
If they're doing a story about me, I know if it's honest or false.
This is the president lying about the media. He is telling his audience that the media lies about him. The president just quoted his remarks on Saturday after Charlottesville, and he falsely quoted his remarks.
But he has given oxygen to racists. Mm-hmm. He hasn't really said anything, denounced the alt-right. He talked about the KKK and whatever. He hasn't really done that. He is clearly trying to ignite a civil war in this country.
A fiery rally in Phoenix last night, President Trump unleashed. What a dramatic shift from the somber commander-in-chief the night before. Remember, he called down on the whole country to come together in unity, but last night he was angry, he was raw, he was divisive, he was deceptive. He riled up the crowd by lashing out at the media. He went back at Charlottesville, saying his words were, quote, perfect, but he left out the comments that drew so much fire.
President Trump is waking up here in Arizona after unleashing a 77-minute fiery and divisive speech here overnight. It was taking aim at his detractors, and it was a major reversal after calling on the country to come together just one day earlier.
Let me jump in here because we've got a lot more tape that we can air throughout the program tonight. Let me tell you what's going to happen. Like, for example, I've been watching Scarborough and Mika, Liberal Joe and Mika, melt down daily. They remind me of like talk show hosts that are in small markets and they say something outrageous, hoping their phones are going to ring. Then the phones, hang on, stop. Then they play. Then they don't get the phones ringing. Then they get more outrageous. Then they say something else, and still the phones don't ring. Then they go absolutely apoplectic, and then maybe the phones will ring. It's like there's only just so many ways that they just, oh, look at our country. It is a collective media emotional breakdown, and it's a smoldering psychosis. And the media bears the brunt of blame for a lot of the divisiveness in this country. And I'll explain all of this as we continue. All right, as we continue, Sean Hannity Show, 800-941-SEAN. You want to be a part of the program. The media is not media anymore. It is lying, vicious propaganda, and ideology disguised as media. Disguised as objectivity. You know, what you heard and watched last night and this morning is you see a media that just does not want to tell the truth. They colluded with Hillary. There's no evidence of Trump-Russia collusion. They make stuff up. We've got more anonymous sourced Washington Post, New York Times articles. Oh, never mind. That they report it. They can't source it. They just make up anonymous sources. It ends up being wrong. Oh, never mind. But it became, you know, 36 hours of cable coverage that is hurting the president. Just like they've never honestly covered his position on racial issues, his denouncing of hatred, white supremacy, the Klan, and the likes of Duke or whoever else he's been talking about over these many years. And they just advance a narrative, an incomplete story at times, sometimes a false story. And they don't come on the air the next night. They come on the air the next night with their next conspiracy theory, their next group of lies that they're never going to fully pull back on. You know, it is, we now have propaganda being, lies being thrown at us every minute of every day. It deserved every bit of pushback and criticism that they got from the president last night. Hey, look at James Clapper. He's now pushing a tinfoil hat black helicopter conspiracy. The president is unfit for office. The same guy who originally said he saw no evidence of so-called Trump-Russia collusion. But now they're paying him. Now he's changed his mind. Well, show us the evidence. You've never seen it up to now. What is it? Because we'll get to this later in the program, because the nation of all places is citing, you know, 30-plus year NSA intelligence officials saying they've gone over all the information. They don't think it's Russia. Julian Assange, WikiLeaks, who knows more than anybody on the planet, he has said it's not Russia. And you might say, I don't like Julian Assange. Well, too bad. He's never been wrong in 11 years. New York Times covers him. They report him. They do it verbatim like it's their own material, as does the Washington Post. So it's like this president can never say or do anything right in their eyes. That's the way it's going to be in the next 3.5 years, 4 years, maybe 8 years. And I've come to the conclusion that if this president cured cancer, it doesn't matter. They'll still hate him. We'll continue.
Check out the show 24/7. Download it to your iPod. Be a Hannity insider at Hannity.com.
All right, 25 to the top of the hour, 800-941. Sean, you want to be a part of the program. I just got too much to say, and it's only better with the video to show you the meltdowns, and we'll get to a lot of that tonight. Hey, did you guys, we were talking about this later. This cracks me up. This poor guy that works at ESPN, God, I say prayers every night for my buddy Stephen A. Smith. Stephen A. is one of the greatest commentators, sports broadcasters in the world. I've met him. I've met Jim Nance. These guys are amazing in sports. I wish I could do what they did. Joe Buck, I mean, these guys, I can't do. What's the name of the guy that is the NHL announcer? He was featured, I think, on 60 Minutes. That guy's like the best broadcaster ever. I love these people. And if you never listen to these broadcasters, they're just so amazing at what it is that they do. Anyway, ESPN decided to switch this poor guy. Emmerich. Oh, God, he's so good. He's just amazing. If you haven't watched him, Hockey Night, NHL Night, Rivalry Night on, I don't know where they air, I guess on the NHL Network somewhere, but he's so good. I mean, he's just an amazing broadcaster. Vin Scully over the years. I mean, I could tell you the old radio broadcasters for the Mets, Lindsey Nelson and all these other guys, they were so good. Anyway, this poor ESPN guy, and I worry about Stephen A., because Stephen A. has strong opinions. Stephen A.'s entertaining. He's got strong opinions. I disagree with him sometimes, a lot, actually. But he's so awesome on air, and he's so fun to watch, and he's such a lively personality. I mean, and we've had him on the show regularly, and he's also a friend of mine. He writes me these notes. He's worried about me. He's supporting Donald Trump. I'm like, just stop. You don't have to worry about me. I'm just following my heart. I follow my gut. I follow my instincts, and I like the Trump agenda. It's not about the person as much as it is about I want tax cuts for the middle class. I want the economy flowing. I want corporations for tax cuts, repatriated money, 7 brackets to 3. I want all that because that's going to get Americans like me, the way I was most of my life, back to work. And they'll build factories and manufacturing centers. I want to be energy independent. You know how many millions of high-paying career jobs are under our feet? And you get the added bonus of not having countries that hate us being dependent on them for the lifeblood of our economy. Simple, basic, fundamental stuff. That's the Trump agenda. To call out radical Islamists for who they are, our enemy. To standing up to North Korea. Bribery doesn't work. Didn't work with Clinton and North Korea. It's not going to work with Iran and Obama's, you know, whatever billions of dollars that he sent in plane loads. You know, these are the building a wall so Americans don't have to compete with people that are willing to work for lower wages. It's also good for security. It's just smart. I just believe in these things. Safety and security and other simple things that we can do for the country, repealing, replacing Obamacare. Oh, that's right. Mr. 18 percenter in his own state, Mitch McConnell, can't get it done. Anyway, this poor guy, and this guy's a great announcer. Have you ever heard him before, Linda? He's so good.
I actually pulled up some sound to him. I'm going to play a little bit for the audience.
He's a great broadcaster.
Yeah, he's an amazing broadcaster.
Yeah, and he was supposed to announce, I guess, the decision. It was switch him from the UVA game. Their opening game on September 2nd, because his name is Robert Lee. That's his name. Here, play a little bit of his broadcasting.
Team USA wins!
17 Stanley Cup finals.
The Blackhawks are Stanley Cup champions!
That's Emmerich, by the way. Why are you playing Emmerich?
That's Doc Emmerich. That's the guy you're talking about.
No. I'm talking about Robert Lee right now.
Oh, the UVA guy. Forgive me, boss. I was stuck on Doc Emmerich.
Forgive me, boss.
Let me get you Robert Lee.
First of all, Emmerich, play Emmerich again so we can really hear it. Crank it up. It's so good. He's so exciting to listen to. Listen to this guy. And hockey's hard because you got to identify the...
Team USA wins!
17 Stanley Cup finals.
Oh, he's amazing.
Stanley Cup champions!
And one induction into the U.S. Hockey Hall of Fame. An honor no other broadcaster has ever received.
Hi, everyone. I'm Mike Emmerich. Hope it was a great summer for you.
These days, he's the lead NHL play-by-play man for NBC Sports.
He's so... Oh, that's where it is. It's rivalry night on NBC Sports. He's so good. And by the way, all the guys, Al Michaels and all those guys that work on Monday Night Football, I mean, Madden when he was on, I mean, they're so good. And they give you great analysis, background data. They know when to shut up. They know when to keep going. They're just pretty amazing people. And anyway, Robert Lee's a great broadcaster. He was scheduled to call UVA's home game against College of the William & Mary. But after Charlottesville, they decided because his name is Robert Lee, they're going to switch him. And I'm like, wow, this is the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my life. Not that it matters, but you got to point this out that he's an Asian American and he's just a great broadcaster and he has the name Robert Lee and he has ESPN and switched him. You guys are laughing. Turn your mic on. Don't make me laugh.
No,
you're
I mean,
alone.
It's crazy, man. It's just
it is the craziest
insane.
Thing
I mean,
I've ever.
This guy was not around at the time of his birth to decide whether or not he was going to be Robert Lee for the rest of his
yes,
life. But for some reason,
he didn't get to
ESPN
pick the name.
Is like, you know what? We're going to prosecute you for getting, you know, not picking your name, and now you don't get to have a job either. It's like this poor bastard.
Well, somebody called Trog Keller over there at ESPN.
Seriously, like who is making these decisions?
Trog Keller actually syndicated this radio show. I'm sure he did. Deny it to everybody in the world. We collectively made the decision with Robert to switch the games. That's what they said.
I really want to hear from Robert. You know, I want to know what Robert thinks about
then,
all this.
Then ESPN put out a statement.
Yeah,
it's
they put
a
out
shame
a statement,
that
I'm sure.
Is even a topic of conversation. And we regret that who calls play-by-play for a football game has become an issue. Well, you guys made it an issue. Well, you know what? I poor Stephen A. Smith. How does he work for those people?
God bless him. He's a good man.
I just don't know how he works for them. My eyes are filling with tears.
As much as I'd love to play him for you, boss, I cannot find any audio of the poor guy because everything that comes up is all about this ridiculousness.
Right. You Google the poor guy's name and forever it's going to be Robert Lee removed from the UVA game.
It's ridiculous.
It's if it wasn't so funny, it's so sad.
I'm so glad America is focused on punishing people for not picking their own
names.
I'm so
glad that America
knocking down statues. It's really a great time in our history.
All right, so the anti-Trump resistance movement, this was in the Daily Caller today, held meetings, according to them, in New York, San Francisco, Chicago, L.A., Austin, and Texas over the weekend, devising a plan to copy Occupy Wall Street tactics. Now, Linda, if I remember, wasn't there a cop car and some defecation issue that I remember? And wasn't there a lot of violence during those Occupy movements?
I mean, there were people literally that would not even move for the police. And just last week, there were people throwing bottles of urine at police officers, and they still held their composure.
The strategy is going to include occupying a large piece of land in several cities across the country until Trump is either removed from office or resigns. They can pretty much wait till hell freezes over because nobody's going to care that they're living in tents. Unfortunately, that's going to be a lot of overtime for the police department. And most of my cop friends like it when they get overtime. Anyway, we must begin in the key cities. With several thousand people in each, said organizer Andy Z about the plan, we can imagine the protest site alive with serious discussions and debates over the big issues of the day. Maybe they can do a talk show with two, a bottle of wine and two Dixie cups, and 3 a.m. new people will fall
in love.
Sean,
you're not going to believe this. We actually found some audio of Robert Lee before
he was
ostracized.
Oh, let's play it. Come on, he's a great broadcaster. I feel sorry.
Gardner Webb University, the score. Asheville leads Gardner Webb 39-33. Robert Lee, Nate Ross back with you. Asheville controlled that first half, led for about 15 and a half minutes. Have matched their biggest lead, 6 points here at halftime. Led, as always, by Ahmad Thomas, 12 points in 12 minutes.
Yeah, 12 minutes because he...
Final 5.5 seconds. They get it in for Teague. He starts up the court with three. Teague trying to get the shot away. He will. He'll hit it. Maceo Teague sends it to
I told you, the guy is amazing. He's such a good sports broadcaster.
Actually, now that I listen to him, he does sound like he favors the Confederate.
Just stop it.
It's very offensive,
now you
actually
sound like CNN. Now you sound like the Mason
Network. As soon as
Networks.
He started
now,
talking, I was like, there's
like
a Confederate.
The New York Times.
Real Confederate right there. That's a problem.
Everyone's worked up because poor Joe Arpaio is going to get a... He's on TV tonight, so I won't talk a lot about it here. You know, look at James Clapper and what he says. Does anybody remember that the former Obama Director of National Intelligence lied when he testified under oath about the NSA's blanket surveillance program 4 years ago? Really, we're supposed to listen to his opinion on the fake news CNN lying network and literally go, I really question his fit. I've questioned your fitness to be on CNN. Good grief.
No, actually, he's in perfect shape for CNN, actually. But
yeah,
let's keep
probably
him there.
Yeah, I get it. Trump's approval rating, this is going to drive people nuts. Trump's approval rating is literally, because I know Republicans are buying into the media lie and mantra that it's hanging by a thread, but party leaders, I guess, headed for the tall grass. Well, look at the reaction the president gets. Has anybody in Congress ever gotten a crowd as big as this president gets everywhere he goes? Have they ever seen the enthusiasm for his agenda? I don't think it's the personality as much as the people of this country want solutions. The party, I said it the other day, the party that focuses on solutions for the forgotten men and women are going to be the party that stays in power. Republicans now have 3 months to get their bleep together. And if they get it together, then the country's going to be better off and they won't have to worry as much about reelection. And anyway, so you look at the survey and he's at what, around 40% Real Clear Politics average. That was about it after Election Day. And I'm watching CNN and their commentary immediately after the event last night. And all it did was validate the crowd chanting CNN sucks. And all it did when he talked about McCain without saying his name, and we have Kelly Ward joining us, I'm going to endorse Kelly Ward today, is validate that the swamp, John McCain, who said people like me can go straight to hell as soon as he got back into the Senate recently. And I wish him the best. But you know what? Sadly, he went against his own promises. There's this audio out of Hillary Clinton, her audio book, and she actually calls the president a creep who invaded her personal space. I thought we went through that with Rick Lazio back in the day. Always the victim. Now, is this the same woman that sat idly by with Paula Jones, Jennifer Flowers, and Monica Lewinsky and Juanita Broderick and all of these other women? Really? Is this the same woman that took money from all these countries that abuse women, where women can't drive, women are told how to dress, women can't leave the country or even the house in Saudi Arabia? Didn't she take millions of dollars from those countries that abuse women? and that kill gays and lesbians and persecute Christians and Jews. And she was creeped out by Donald Trump and he invaded her space. Was that part of her excuse of why we got there? Why she lost? And we also have Fusion GPS's founder refused to tell Congress who paid for the golden shower hookers in a Ritz-Carlton in Moscow issue. This is the former MI6 guy. Now, this is going to get very, very interesting. We can pretty much safely say and assume that the identity of whoever paid for the notorious golden shower dossier, well, this is going to be pretty explosive to get to the bottom of it, because how do you explain the refusal by Fusion GPS founder, this guy Glenn Simpson, to tell Congress who bankrolled Christopher Steele? Where'd the money come from? Fusion GPS was supposedly hired by an ally of Hillary Clinton. Simpson won't say who it is. It was a marathon interview. Daily Caller reports on it today. The Senate Judiciary Committee, the co-founder, the opposition research firm behind this what we've now proven pretty much is a lying dossier. MSNBC was last night, you know, surmising that it's probably okay. So I think we're going to get information on that, just like I think we're going to learn about Uranium One, just like I think we're going to learn who the unmaskers are, like Samantha Power, Susan Rice, Ben Rhodes, and others. And we're going to find out who broke the law in the Espionage Act. And we're going to find out about Debbie Wasserman Schultz. We're going to investigate that actually later in the program today. You know, the New York Times has an uncorroborated, an anonymous sourced report that Mitch 18% McConnell, that's 18% approval rating in his own state, you know, doubts Trump can salvage his presidency. Well, I doubt you're going to be able to salvage your Senate when you blow it in the fall. And by the way, Phoenix police last night were pretty amazing for those few people that were out there causing trouble, as they always do. You know, I'm just going to say a few things here. You know, it's never going to be good enough for the leftist presidents, for the leftists in the media. And I'm just going to tell you something. You don't have a media. You've got, they're the biggest bunch of snowflake crybabies I've ever seen. They think they can go out with conspiracy theories, call the president a racist, call him a liar, accuse Republicans and conservatives of being racist, bigots, sexist, homophobes, Islamophobes, xenophobes every day, and nobody's ever going to push back. They think they can put one lying conspiracy theory about Russia on every single night with no evidence and not be called out and exposed. This is not media anymore. This is, they are propaganda outlets for leftist ideology. They're a bunch of sheep. They feign moral outrage every chance they get. They create fake crisis after fake crisis. It's Russia, Russia. It's war with nuclear war with North Korea. And the presidents are racist. Well, they've been exposed now. They're smear merchants. They're propagandists. They're liars. And they're not to be trusted by you. I don't trust them ever. And I don't blame the president for fighting to get his good name back. You'd do the same thing. At least I would.
Our agenda is the pro-worker agenda. We've accomplished historic amounts in a short period of time. We've signed more than 50 pieces of legislation. They said we've signed none. None. We've signed 50. Appointed Justice Gorsuch, nominated 31 new federal judges, with many more on the way. So importantly, we have aggressively canceled job-killing regulations, and we're unleashing job-creating American energy like we've never unleashed before. We've ended the war on beautiful clean coal. And it's just been announced that a second brand new coal mine, where they're going to take out clean coal, meaning they're taking out coal, they're going to clean it, is opening in the state of Pennsylvania, the second one. And the state of West Virginia, which was way behind and lagging, was now, in terms of GDP increase, second last quarter to the state of Texas. How about that? West Virginia. We are unleashing American energy, and I withdrew the United States from the job-killing Paris Climate Accord. Since I took the oath of office, we've added far more than 1 million jobs in the private sector. Unemployment is right now at almost a 17-year low. Wages are rising. The stock market is at its all-time high in history, and economic growth has surged to 2.6%. Remember I said we're going to try and hit 3%? We're already at 2.6. Maybe I'll have to increase my offer. Obamacare is a disaster. And think, we were just one vote away from victory after 7 years of everybody proclaiming repeal and replace. One vote away. One vote away. We were one vote away. Think of it. 7 years. The Republicans, and again, you have some great senators, but we are one vote away from repealing. But you know, they all said, Mr. President, your speech was so good last night. Please, Mr. President, don't mention any names. So I won't. No, I won't vote. One vote away, I will not mention any names. Very presidential, isn't it? Very presidential. And nobody wants me to talk about your other senator, who's weak on borders, weak on crime. So I won't talk about him. Nobody wants me to talk about him. Nobody knows who the hell he is. And now, see, I haven't mentioned any names. So now everybody's happy. But we are going to get rid of Obamacare. I will never stop. One vote. I will never stop. We're going to get rid of Obamacare.
All right, hour two, Sean Hannity Show. Glad you are with us. Write down our toll-free telephone number. You want to be a part of the program, 800-941-SEAN. Obviously, the president, they don't want me to mention the names, but he's talking about John McCain and Jeff Flake. Then you hear the audience loudly, just like they was talking about CNN last night. It was hilarious. And drain the swamp. So when you have a crowd saying that loudly that they're unhappy with the senators. Now, McCain does this all the time. When he gets in a tough race, John McCain is out there, and John McCain wants all the conservative support. Then he gets elected, and then he becomes a liberal. And again, or at least part of the establishment. And I want to be clear here. I mean, we wish John McCain well. We know he's been facing a very tough illness. But we also know that he made a promise about repealing, replacing Obamacare again and again and again and again and again. We know we had six senators that voted in 2015 to get rid of Obamacare and just vote to repeal it. And six of them decided, well, nah, never mind, because now it actually means something, which is the swamp, which is why the crowd was chanting, drain the swamp. Kelly Ward is back with us. Now, the president had been tweeting about her, and Kelly Ward is a state senator, and she's running against Jeff Flake, and that will take place in 2018, and she's here to talk about. She was at the rally last night in Phoenix, and she welcomed the president to the state, unlike McCain and Flake, and it looks to me, by recent polling, that her constituents agree, and in the latest primary, if there's a primary in the United States, now this was a Republican primary survey, Arizona voters, and it showed that Jeff Flake is now 14 points plus behind his primary Republican opponent, Kelly Ward, and 8 points behind the prospective Democratic opponent, Congresswoman Kristen Sinema, I think is how you say her name. Anyway, welcome back to the program, Kelly Ward. How are you?
Hey, Sean. It's great to be with you. I am here in a room full of to capacity of Kelly Ward voters, Donald Trump voters, and fans of Sean Hannity.
Well, put it on speaker so I can address the crowd. Can you put your phone on speaker for a second?
Okay, hold on. Let me put it on speaker.
Okay, you put it on speaker. And
okay.
All right, everybody, I want to say welcome to 550 radio stations, which is appropriate because we're on 550 KFYI in Phoenix. How y'all doing? Next question, is Kelly Ward going to defeat Jeff Flake out in Arizona in the primary? All right, I guess that's the answer. All right. Anyway,
they're pretty rowdy around here.
Yeah, we like Rowdy. Rowdy works for us. It seems that the president, you know, has been tweeting out about you. We know Jeff Flake has been out there attacking the president. We know what John McCain did with his vote And here was an opportunity to begin the process of really undoing the most damaging health care system ever imposed on man, Obamacare, with all the broken promises. And they knew they lied to us from day one. And John McCain went against it. What's your reaction to it?
I was so disappointed, I guess that's a nice way to say, about what John McCain did whenever he gave that big thumbs down to get rid of Obamacare, to start the process of pulling Obamacare out by the root. And you have to remember, Sean, if I had been there instead of John McCain, we would have had the winning vote to start the process of getting rid of Obamacare.
Well, I think that it's really important that our audience know that this was a huge opportunity that was missed. Why do you think Senator McCain did this after making all those promises?
You know, I have no idea, because he did again and again and again on the campaign trail say repeal, repeal, repeal and replace even. But when it came down to brass tacks, he just voted against the people of Arizona and the people of America who are suffering under unbearable premiums and skyrocketing deductibles. They're not able to access high quality health care. And it's a shame that Senator McCain was the guy that put the nail in the coffin of trying to get rid of Obamacare, at least right now.
Yeah. What is your take on Jeff Flake right now?
Well, you know, Jeff Flake is he's a pretty weak senator. Arizona definitely deserves better. It was amazing to have that tweet, the supportive tweet from the president saying that Jeff Flake is weak on the border, weak on crime, and a non-entity in the United States Senate. All of those things are true. All of those things I've been bringing to light here in Arizona. I think that's why we have such a huge shot at reclaiming the heart and the soul of the Republican Party. Back to the people who want small government and low taxes and personal responsibility and following the Constitution, rather than insiders who are political, you know, professional politicians who love to be a part of the global tuxedo club.
Well, you know, I got to tell you something, and I supported you last time. We put you on the program a number of times last time. I warmly offer you my endorsement and my support. I think you'd be a great senator. And so you can
Thank
tell
you.
Your crowd there that Sean Hannity just endorsed you again.
Endorsed me.
All right, there we go. By the way, for some people, that could be the kiss of death. Just so you know, Joe Lieberman, when he was running as an independent, said, could you just not talk about me? I mean, I know we agree on Israel and terrorism, and I know that there's no other choice, and we don't agree on every social policy, but he goes, every time you mention my name, you're killing me, because they say Joe Lieberman's friends with Sean Hannity. And but this is what I want to say. I just think that I cannot any longer support weak Republicans. I will not support people that break their promises. I will not support people that don't keep their word. You know, and I got to be honest, I don't have anything personal. I admired John McCain as a war hero, but he comes back to the Senate and then he pulls this nonsense on breaking his promise on Obamacare. But also when he went to the Senate floor, he got great cheers from his Senate colleagues when he said the following about people like me.
Listening to the bombastic loudmouths on the radio and television and the internet, to hell with them. They don't want anything done for the public good. Our incapacity is their livelihood.
Yeah, I love how he's blaming me for their failure. And you know what, Dr. Ward, we've laid out on this program, and you've been a guest on this program as we've talked about healthcare solutions. I have talked about how to get the economy going, about the need for tax cuts, repatriated money. I've talked about energy independence. I've talked about both cooperatives, and I've talked about healthcare savings accounts, and I've done it for 15 years. I put out my Conservative Solution Caucus at the end of 2013. I want solutions. I don't want inactivity. You know, and I don't think there's any other show in America that talks more about the forgotten men and women in poverty on food stamps and out of work than this one. It's so insulting.
It is, Sean. You're right. And Jeff Flake and John McCain insult Republican voters again and again and again because they want to tell us what we should think and tell us that we should support them just because they have an R behind their name. I think times are changing. I think that Donald Trump's election to be the president of this United States was like storming the beach at Normandy. But then 2018 is going to be where we charge the hill and we plant our flag at the top, the flag of conservatism.
Let me ask you about Mitch McConnell when we get back. And I want to ask you about these Antifa protesters that showed up last night. Just like in Boston, the overwhelming majority of people were peaceful and they have a right to protest. And I'm a strong believer in the First Amendment and freedom of speech. But then you have the few troublemakers and the police handled it as professionally as they possibly could last night, like they did in Boston. And I want to get your perspective on all that. We'll continue with Kelly Ward. She is now running against Jeff Flake in a primary out in Arizona, and I'm supporting her candidacy, and I hope you will too. As we continue, Dr. Kelly Ward is with us. She is going to be challenging the sitting senator from the great state of Arizona, Jeff Flake, in the upcoming primary, and it's a race she can win. And we welcome her back to the program. What are your thoughts on Mitch McConnell?
You know, I wish Mitch McConnell would focus on accomplishing the Trump agenda rather than putting out attack ads against me.
Well, tell us about these attack ads, because they were pretty vicious from what I heard. I haven't seen them.
Well, they kind of mirror what John McCain said the last time I ran. They're totally ridiculous, really, Sean. These guys, though, haven't been able to unite on anything. They haven't been able to get their act together to fund the border wall, to repeal Obamacare, to fix the tax code, but they've united in their effort to keep any new voices, any powerful voices, any voices they don't control out of Washington, D.C. So, you know, they make all kinds of claims, but they're refuted simply by pointing out that I was an extremely effective Arizona state senator, able to get 19 bills signed into law in just 1 year. And that's not by being extreme. That's not by being crazy. The only thing that's
crazy is that
they're
attacking me. By the way, they sound like the left wing. You know, here you are, a Republican. Their rule is, oh, we shall, the 11th commandment of Reagan. And anytime there's a conservative, they always say when it's a moderate presidential candidate, oh, you conservatives have to suck it up. And then we do. And when John McCain was running, oh, we sucked it up. And he was not a good candidate, and he got slaughtered against Barack Obama. And but if a conservative runs, that then it's, you know, bare knuckles brawling time. And then you get the establishment using arguments of the left to smear and slander conservatives. I'm sick of this game that McConnell and company play.
Yes. And if you look at how John McCain ran against J.D. Hayworth, how he ran against me, it was much more aggressively than he ran against Barack Obama, unfortunately for us, because then we were stuck with President Barack Obama for way too long.
Yeah. Well, let me ask this. If you get to Congress, what are the things you'll pledge to the people of Arizona? And give me your list. We got about 40 seconds.
All right. Well, the first and foremost, we've got to fund and build the wall. We have to stop illegal immigration. I will continue to work to repeal Obamacare because I don't think these guys are going to get it done. And I am running on a term limit pledge. I do not want to be in Washington, D.C. for my entire life. I think that 12 years in Washington is more than enough time for anyone to start an agenda, accomplish a lot of it, and then pass the torch to the next generation who will be ready, willing, and able and have the energy to do the job that needs to be done.
Well, we appreciate that. I hope you'll support tax cuts, energy independence, building the wall, repatriation. I also hope that you will support the strong measures to keep our military strong so we can defeat evil in our time and so much more. Dr. Kelly
yes.
Ward, it's an honor to talk to you. And you know, I Jeff Flake is like missing in action. You never see the guy, never hear the guy, never does a thing. So it's time that I'm not going to support anybody that breaks their promises anymore. I'm not going to, you know, he can go out and he can attack the president and he can attack conservatives like McCain tells me to go straight to hell. You know what? I'm just tired of these people. So we wish you well, and we'll have you on many times between now and Election Day. But I'm throwing my support early behind you, and anything I can do to help you, please let me know.
Oh, thank you so much, Sean. I am humbled and honored to have your support and the support of the people that are listening who want to change Washington, D.C. I will not let you down.
All right, Kelly Ward. Dr. Ward, thank you for being with us. 800-941-SEAN, our toll-free telephone number. You want to be a part of the program. When we come back, Colonel Oliver North joins us, and we'll talk about the president. Now, the president made a great point, the cohesiveness, the unity of our military. Can you imagine what we could accomplish as a country if we would be able to be cohesive and united in purpose? It's amazing. We'll continue.
It's time for us to follow the example of our brave American soldiers. And I was with a lot of them last night, Fort Myers. No matter where they come from, no matter what faith they practice, they form a single, unbreakable team. That's what we are. We're a team. As a nation, we're a team. They're all united by their devotion to our country and to their mission. It's time for all of us to remember that we are all on the same team. We are all Americans, and we all believe right now in America first.
That's why we will also expand authority for American armed forces to target the terrorist and criminal networks that sow violence and chaos throughout Afghanistan. These killers need to know they have nowhere to hide, that no place is beyond the reach of American might and American arms. Retribution will be fast and powerful. As we lift restrictions and expand authorities in the field, we are already seeing dramatic results in the campaign to defeat ISIS, including the liberation of Mosul in Iraq. Since my inauguration, we have achieved record-breaking success in that regard. We will also maximize sanctions and other financial and law enforcement actions against these networks to eliminate their ability to export terror. When America commits its warriors to battle, we must ensure they have every weapon to apply swift, decisive, and overwhelming force. Our troops will fight to win. We will fight to win. From now on, victory will have a clear definition.
All right, 24 now till the top of the hour, 800-941-SHAWN, toll-free telephone number. Now, that was the president last night and the night before going over his plan now to win the battle, the conflict, the issues in Afghanistan. But more importantly, he talked at length. The certain seriousness, finally talking about if you're going to commit troops, it's about winning. It's about also getting rid of the rules of engagement that have put handcuffs on men and women in the military. You know, a certain seriousness that comes, you can see his love of the military. He had a perfect setting on Tuesday night at Arlington, hallowed ground, and the speech that he gave there. It was in many ways, it shows that other side of President Trump that we saw another side last night. That's him. It's both sides of him are him. Just like sometimes you laugh and you cry and you have personality and you're real and you cut and you bleed. Anyway, he described how we faced the forces of evil before, how America's always prevailed, you know, how he adjusted and went against his original instincts after the information came to him, the things that he learned. He talked about our patience not being unlimited here, that there's not going to be nation building. He's pressuring those in the region to step up. He's not going to telegraph our plans. He's going to empower our generals and the boots on the ground, the brave men and women that fight, bleed, and die in these wars we send them to, that no blank check. And, you know, all of these things that, frankly, it was a checklist of many of the mistakes that we have made in recent years, that there's no place for them to hide. We're going to find them. Every military friend I had was ecstatic hearing that if we're going to fight, that we have the ability to fight the way we should fight. Anyway, joining us now is Colonel Oliver North. And then, of course, he talked about it and relayed the cohesiveness of the military to everything as it relates to, you know, the events in Charlottesville and in society and this conflict that has existed for decades. And what he's saying is if we could just follow the military's model, we'd be a lot better off as a country. Colonel, how are you?
I'm doing well, brother. You know, you were just talking about the president acknowledging that he changed his mind in the speech he made at Fort Myer. And it was a surprise to me. I know it was to you because we talked about it. And here's another surprising thing about that speech. It didn't leak.
right up until the minute
that he went on, our network and every other was speculating it's going to be somewhere between 4,000 and 6,000 troops. He's going to set a timeline. He's going to tell. And he didn't do any of that. The speech wasn't a strategy speech. It was a policy speech. And it was brilliant because he committed to winning in Afghanistan, which no one has ever done before. He defined it. He set objectives. He paid great tribute to the soldiers, sailors, airmen, guardsmen, Marines who served that you and I have gone and visited in the hospitals. That you've helped so much with the scholarship funds that have sent their kids who lost a parent in the line of duty to college. Look, objectives. Honorable outcome. Hasty withdrawal is unacceptable. And he made reference to what the troops called the... I was there. You remember? I was on your show from Iraq during the bug out, right? And that's what the troops called it, the Obama bug out. And he said it was going to be conditions-based and not time-based for a withdrawal. Totally unlike his predecessor. He defines the enemy, radical Islamists. He defines victory as destroying ISIS and Al-Qaeda and with Afghan help, taking care of the whole situation there, eliminating the safe havens in Pakistan, preventing the Taliban from taking over. And, you know, the only word he left out that I wish he'd said was Jim Mattis's line at West Point back in May, when Mattis says, we've gone from a position in Iraq and Syria to annihilation. We're not going to just surround them. We're going to annihilate them. And I think he said it, but he didn't use the word annihilate. The idea of that change of tactics is now being played out. And talking about using the full instruments of military, diplomatic, and economic power that we've got, I think it was an absolutely stellar speech. And my hope is that the Congress is going to get 100% on board with this, because even though he talks about the plans to rebuild our military, it's not happening yet. The money is not there yet. There's a lot of plans in place, but
they
the money
did
is
put
there.
Into place. You know, one of the things the president has been great with the military. I mean, starting with the VA has had his bill to support and help and change it dramatically, the way the VA, which has been so corrupt and so dishonest.
Absolutely.
And it's frankly
right.
a national disgrace how we've treated our veterans.
And he justifiably took credit for that last night in Phoenix, because that was one of the worst hospitals in the entire VA system. And again, without attacking anybody by name, but there's a certain senator out there who could have been on top of that with both feet and wasn't. And that hospital in Phoenix was one of the very worst in the entire VA system. And God bless David Shulkin. Dr. Shulkin has done an amazing job, because the president got behind him. The president said, we're going to change the law. You can fire people for a change. And by golly, it's happening. The VA system is better. Look, without repeating all the things that he said last night, the VA system is on a trajectory for improvement for the first time in 40 years, maybe 50 years.
You
Second,
know,
mm-hmm. the number of cross-border activities, people coming into this country illegally, has dropped like a stone. The economy is getting better. The number of jobs have gone up. There is no doubt that the country is on the right trajectory. The place where it's bad is right here in Washington.
It
Washington
is so
has
disgraceful.
Not caught up with the fact this country's on a better path, and the reason for it is called leadership.
Yes. And on the military, on radical Islam, now on Afghanistan with North Korea. Nobody gave the president any credit.
Nope.
You know, the attack against Guam didn't happen, did it? Because North Korea would have been incinerated. And so Kim Jong-un did back down and even said he was going to back down. Nobody in the media, just like they don't talk about the forgotten men and the forgotten women in this country and the fake news in this country, lying news in this country, radical left news in this country, they'll never tell the American people the truth. We have beyond an information crisis. We've got a propaganda crisis in the country.
Well, let me give you two cases to that. Number one, they have portrayed what happened with North Korea as Trump backed down. And unfortunately, Secretary of State Tillerson said yesterday that he's looking forward to negotiating with Pyongyang. Now, he's the Secretary of State. Lord knows he's a whole lot better than the last one he had. But that's what's gotten us into this mess with North Korea to begin with. Kim Jong-un has repeatedly used negotiations to continue to improve their nukes and their delivery systems. And our goal is not negotiating with North Korea. I mean, that might be the State Department's goal.
Why would we ever have bilateral negotiations with a madman?
Well, exactly. And our goal isn't negotiating. Our goal is preventing North Korea from ever having the means to attack our homeland or our allies and kill American civilians. I mean, and we're totally unprepared.
But here's the fact, Colonel. This situation's not going to get any better. And as long as they continue the nuclear program and their...
Right.
And especially ICBM. Their ICBM capabilities, we've got a major problem on our hands in terms of the safety and security of this country. And we don't have good options here, because really the only option we have is incinerating them or not incinerating them. And if we don't incinerate them, that means that at any point they might be able to reach the continental U.S.
Yep.
That's a problem.
Let me give you one more before we run out of time.
Yeah, you bet.
I'll give you a prediction. Within the next few days, you're going to see newspaper headlines and broadcasters talking about how Trump has overextended the Navy, and that's why we're having the problems that we're having out in the 7th Fleet.
Oh, they're going to blame him for the accident?
Absolutely.
By the way.
Absolutely. After all,
if the dog bites or the bee stings, it's Trump's fault. Why not?
Look, you can be sure that the crews of the USS Fitzgerald and the John McCain had completed all of their required human resources training, sensitivity training, transgender tolerance training, sexual harassment training, standards of conduct protocols, and instructions on behavior while on leave and liberty. Because all of those were requirements placed on the Navy by the last Secretary of the Navy, Ray Mabus. Unfortunately, he didn't allow time for seamanship and navigation. Here's my suggestion. While the U.S. Navy is in the process of firing admirals and relieving the CEOs of ships, some bright young JAG officer ought to find out a way to court-martial former Secretary Ray Mabus. That's what we ought to be doing. I'm just stunned.
You know, I did like one thing, and the president did this now two nights in a row. He talked about and compared the unity and cohesiveness and the bond of brotherhood that exists in the military, and it transcends race, religion, creed, color, and, you know, it doesn't matter. Because they're all Americans that are fighting a common goal and a common enemy with a common purpose to defend the American people. And yet, for how many decades now have we not had this in the country?
Well,
and the president decided to take a very bold step last night and say, I am not going to allow you to lie about me and call me something I'm not, which is racist.
You know, and you know what? Thank goodness we've got somebody to call him out, because it's been decades since we've had an honest media. I mean, the reality of it is, you and I see it every day because we're in the business. You and I see every day the distortions, the omissions, the commissions.
The lies. No, it's outright lying.
Lies. Yeah, happens every day.
All right, stay right there. Colonel Oliver North with us, 800-941-SEAN, toll-free telephone number. As we continue, Colonel Oliver North is with us. All right, so now one of the things, as we go through the list of what the president outlined the other night, and I love the list, when he talks about, okay, this is not a blank check. We're not nation building. We're not there to construct a democracy. We're there to help them help themselves, and they better help themselves or else we're out of there. And not talking about timetables, artificial timetables of exit, not talking about troop size, not talking about operations, not talking about anything.
Yeah.
Isn't that the way that a commander-in-chief should act? Why would we telegraph we're leaving? Because if I'm the enemy, I'm just going to wait you out.
Well, and that's exactly what Obama did. I mean, the Obama bug out went exactly as he said it would. And all the bad guys had to do was wait. And that's why we ended up with ISIS. I mean, people forget these things because the press never reminds people of the errors and the omissions and commissions of the Obama regime. What happened was, when they pulled out so all the troops so precipitously, it left an enormous hole for ISIS to fill. Now, in fairness to the military, they've never been given the latitude to fight the fight against radical Islam until this president became president. And if you look at it, on the ground in Afghanistan, we've already lost 2,258 killed in action, 20,557 wounded in action. We've spent $1 trillion in Afghanistan. This year we're going to spend $50 billion. General John Nicholson, who's there now, is the 17th commander of the U.S. and allied forces since 2001. In other words, 17 commanders in 16 years. I mean, it's every president's had a troop surge. Every troop surge was bounded by a time frame, not a conditions-based withdrawal. The troops turn over every 6 to 7 months. That does not work. And so I'm hoping, and this is why I was so glad of the things he didn't say a time frame, didn't give a number of troops, didn't say when they were going, when they're coming back. I'm hoping that there's some latitude for some new ideas.
All right, we got to roll. Colonel Oliver North. Colonel, always appreciate it. And all the times that you were in abroad in Afghanistan, war zones, I'd always send a message that when you come home, I owe you a steak, and it drove you nuts. And I'd say, save.
My mouth's watering, buddy.
No. Listen, I bought you plenty, but I'm going to buy you another one. I owe you plenty.
Well, I appreciate
you. I'll never be able to repay you.
God love you, man.
All right, safe home.
Semper Fi.
Appreciate you.
Stay right here for our final news roundup and information overload in the final hour of the Sean Hannity Show.
Secretary Johnson says the DNC rebuffed the help that they offered. You're saying that no one ever contacted you.
Respectfully, Secretary Johnson is utterly misinformed. That is simply not accurate. And much that has been written about the timeline of events by the New York Times, the Washington Post, that document through multiple sources, including me, that the FBI and other federal agencies did virtually nothing to make sure that when they were aware At the point that they were aware that there was, or concerned that there was an intrusion on our network by the Russians, that they did virtually nothing to sound the alarm bells to make us aware of that. And they left, essentially, the Russians on our network for more than, for almost a year.
Under my understanding, the Capitol Police is not able to confiscate members' equipment when the member is not under investigation. It is their equipment, and it's supposed to be returned.
Well, I think there's extenuating circumstances in this case, and I think that, you know, working through my counsel and, you know, the necessary personnel, if that in fact is the case, and with the permission of through the investigation, then we'll return the equipment. But until that's accomplished, I can't return the equipment.
I think you're violating the rules when you conduct your business that way, and should expect that there would be consequences.
Can you elaborate more on what the DHS's connection with the DNC was, or consultation with the DNC was after you became aware of the hacking and they became aware of the hacking, as to what was offered them, what they accepted? Was there any level of cooperation at all?
To my disappointment, not to my knowledge, sir. And this is a question I asked repeatedly when I first learned of it. You know, what are we doing? Are we in there? Are we helping them discover the vulnerabilities? Because this was fresh off the OPM experience. And there was a point at which DHS cybersecurity experts did get into OPM and actually help them discover the bad actors and patch some of the exfiltrations, or at least minimize some of the damage. And so I was anxious to know whether or not our folks were in there. And the response I got was, FBI had spoken to them. They don't want our help. They have CrowdStrike, the cybersecurity firm. And that was the answer I got after I asked the question a number of times over the progression of time.
Now, that was, I assume, totally different from the reaction you got from OPM.
The OPM effort, we were actually in there on site helping them find the bad actors.
Do you know who it was at the DNC who made that decision, or who was making the resistance?
No.
Do you know if the FBI continued to try to help, try to assist?
I have. I've read in the New York Times about those efforts sometime earlier this year.
Well, he's not my staffer. He no longer works for me, and when he was arrested, I terminated him. I kept him on the payroll during the time that he was not arrested and not charged with anything, and that was because, as I said, that I was concerned about the violation of his due process rights and also that there were racial and ethnic profiling concerns as well. I have maintained that it was important and will continue to maintain that when someone's due process rights are potentially being violated, that I'm going to stand up and make sure that that people's rights are protected in this country. That's the oath that I swore to uphold when I swore to uphold the Constitution. And when he was arrested and due process was established, then I terminated him.
All right, we have been following this. Glad you're with us. 800-941-SEAN is our toll-free telephone number if you want to be a part of the program. It's very, very important that we stay on what I think is a very, very interesting component in all of the scandal stories that we follow that the media, in fact, ignores. And I'm going to sort of go through this in a timeline. Luke Rosiak works for the Daily Caller, and he's done some great investigative work. He's a great reporter, and he's been digging and digging and digging and digging and digging. And, you know, how Wasserman Schultz claims that, you know, she was the victim of the cyber attack. She attacked the police so fervently over the fact that she wanted that laptop back no matter what. We found out through Luke's reporting that the House Democrats hired a fired McDonald's worker as their IT guy. And this guy that we have spent an awful lot of time talking about, this Imran Awan, the Pakistani guy that was arrested and charged, you know, we learned that other family members were hired as IT people as well, including people that had no IT experience from what we can gather, especially the fired McDonald's worker. And, you know, then we have another guy that was apparently a car dealer. And then we find out that the House Democratic IT suspect wanted untraceable payments. And sure enough, you see the millions disappeared. That was one of the investigative reports that Luke put out there. And then if you follow the story further, the House Democrats IT administrator was a charming, cunning con artist. That was one of the headlines that was out there. And Democrats heard they may have been hacked and they didn't even care. Remember the old FBI story, which turned out to be true. They wouldn't even let the FBI have access to their servers. years. So there's a lot of fascinating, interesting things that evolve around Democrats. And it all starts with Hillary deleting emails, 33,000, including top secret, special access program, classified information. Then, of course, she went even further and she acid washes and bleach bits the hard drives and the server, and then busting up devices like BlackBerries and iPhones and handing over to the FBI fines and phones and mobile devices without their SIM cards, which was ridiculous. Then Wasserman Schultz says she was negotiating with the police. She was like going freaking out over the fact that they wouldn't give her back this laptop and threatening these people. The FBI seized smashed hard drives from this guy's garage. This Wasserman Schultz IT aide, we knew that he was already double billing. So her argument is she wanted due process and racial profiling. That never was true. Then this guy ends up getting arrested at an airport. He had wired $300,000 to Pakistan from his house office. Wasserman Schultz seemingly planned to pay the suspect even while he lived in Pakistan. This now raises national security concerns. Why does somebody that really hasn't had a security check have access to all of this information? And the Wasserman Schultz aide in Pakistan is still liquidating their assets. And on top of that, it goes even further in terms of Wasserman Schultz saying the laptop she sought to keep from the police was a Wands. It wasn't even hers. And two former Wasserman Schultz IT aides were indicted for conspiracy against the U.S. And House Democrats, well, they had to write off all this money. And eventually that means you, the taxpayer, have been footing the bill in all of this. Now, it gets even more interesting, more intrigue is I'm going to add to this, but Luke Rosiak of the Daily Caller joins us. How are you?
I'm good, Sean. That was a great roundup. Thanks for having me.
Why don't you walk through all of the questions you have and what I might be missing and fill in the blanks?
Sure. I really like the audio you played because it really the sequence of the DNC thing and the FBI. I mean, it's just borders on absurd. The FBI is involved when the DNC is hacked. The FBI offers their help. She rejects it. She won't let them see the server. And she spends the next year talking about how hacking is just like a moral score, just the worst thing that could ever happen. Can you believe hackers? That, you know, we got to stop all hackers. So then just a few months later, after this hack occurs, and this is actually before the election even, because this probe has been going on in Imran Mawan for a long time, the Capitol Police go to her with the FBI and say, we think your Capitol Hill IT aide is a criminal, and we're looking at cybersecurity violations. And she's acknowledged that she was told by police, in her words, that he did data transfer violations. And instead of saying, well, hacking is so serious, I just got burned once, obviously I've got to fire him, I've got to be really strong on this, she says that the FBI was framing him out of Islamophobia. So she keeps this suspected hacker on her staff. It's just impossible to square with her indignation over being hacked at the DNC. And it's almost like Stockholm syndrome, or battered wife syndrome. Like, she's getting, there's all this evidence against this guy. There's really no evidence that he didn't do it. And yet she's accusing the cops of concocting this whole elaborate framing operation on her IT guy.
Well, then we have government hard drives, accordingly reported, smashed in this guy's garage. Why are you going to smash hard drives? I mean, that raises a lot of questions in and of itself. To what extent could this be connected to, let's go back to the election? Let's go back to WikiLeaks and Julian Assange in June 12, 2016, and the Hillary Clinton emails and the DNC rushing to fabricate evidence that it was hacked by Russia to defuse any potential WikiLeaks disclosure. And that, you know, the theory that they've had is the DNC used Guccifer 2.0 online persona to release mostly harmless DNC data, but it wasn't so harmless because didn't Debbie Wasserman Schultz get fired as a result?
Right. And, and then, of course, she wound up working for the Hillary Clinton campaign right after that. But it's just hard to take what they say seriously about Imran Awan, because they say that he did nothing wrong whatsoever. He's just being picked on for working while Muslim. It is impossible to conclude that when you look into the facts. And, it's a complicated story, and people have such short attention spans these days. But members of Congress are well aware of what I've reported based on public court documents that are online, interviews with their own family members, and other things like that. I mean, these guys have been sued by basically all kinds of people. They've been in all kinds of lawsuits. Their own stepmom, they're in a lawsuit right now, and she's, of course, devoutly Muslim, so the idea that this is about Islamophobia is absurd. But the stepmom says that they wiretapped and extorted her, which is like, this is not your average nerd down the street or your average person down the street.
Luke Rosiak, stay right there. I don't mean to interrupt you, but I want to dig into this further because the Nation of all places, the Washington Times, Bloomberg now, there are a group of longtime professional intelligence community individuals that are saying this whole Russia-Trump collusion myth. They believe they've proven it false. We'll get to that. Continue. Luke Rosiak is with the Daily Caller, and he's been doing all the investigative work into Debbie Wasserman Schultz and her IT guy that tried to flee to Pakistan after he had double billed and had questionable people from the family on the payroll. Let me ask you, you've heard of Bill Binney. You know, you've heard former NSA guy, 32, 34 years, and a whistleblower, and former technical director for World Geopolitical and Military Analysis, Edward Loomis Jr., former technical director for the Office of Signals Processing, which is a huge intel job, as well as other ex-intelligence officers with incredible and extraordinarily impressive credentials, The Nation, which is left-wing, and followed up now by Bloomberg, and followed up by the likes of The Washington Times, are all reporting that they are making the case that it wasn't Russia, that it looks like it could very well have been these emails as it relates to Hillary Clinton, the DNC, on the eve of the DNC convention with WikiLeaks, that it could have been disgruntled Bernie people. What is your take on that? Is that possible? And do you see in any way it could be connected to Debbie Wasserman Schultz's IT guy, which we know should have been fired and destroyed these government hard drives and his garage?
You know, I think everything's on the table with Imran Awan because we just can't square their reaction to this whole incident, how defensive they've been of not just themselves but also of him, with the basic facts at hand. I mean, something is afoot here where they are they're deadly scared to even speak about Imran Awan, and they're saying he's a great guy. I mean, we know that's not true. There are all kinds of financial red flags. So if they're defending him on that, I mean, who knows?
Why didn't the DNC have a willingness to turn over to the FBI their hard drives to see who could have been the hackers? Why wouldn't they do that? Why did the FBI let him get away with that?
You know, I've thought of that because if this is such a serious thing and they're so mad that they were hacked, then you want to make sure those guys are prosecuted, right? But how could they be convicted in court if the court hasn't been provided that evidence? You can't go to a court and say, well, judge, I'm not like going to let you see any evidence, but just trust me, CrowdStrike has it.
No. All right. And then the next question, a logical question I would ask after that is, if in fact that there is, if these guys are saying it's not Russia, what would that mean in terms of what has been told to the American people by the media for all of these months? And what does it mean for the Mueller investigation?
Well, I mean, the media hasn't really been giving that much attention to Imran Awan when Debbie Wasserman Schultz's IT guys, both of them, have been indicted for conspiracy against the U.S. One of them has fled the country, and the FBI doesn't believe she's going to come back.
Do you worry about security concerns with this guy?
In terms of what
did he see on these computers?
Right, and I mean, one of the things that's being looked into, he had like a secret server going on that was all these members' data was being transferred onto it. So it's likely that he still has copies of all their emails even now, and it can be over in Pakistan where, you know, that you can't really do anything to stop the releases of these damaging political emails. So that's potentially leverage that he has over these people. And so, like you mentioned at the beginning, one of these members of Congress, Yvette Clark, who represents Brooklyn, $120,000 in computers went missing from her office under Imran Awan when he was managing it. And she signed this paper that basically made the problem go away. So, and this is a tenth of her annual budget. I mean, these offices aren't that big. For $100,000 to go missing, that's a big deal. But instead of saying, what the hell happened to all this equipment? You're fired. I'm going to call the cops. We got to track this down. Basically, her chief of staff signed this write-off that made the whole thing go away.
All right, I got to take a break here. When we come back, Luke Rosiak, Daily Caller, thank you for being with us. Amazing stuff. We're not going to stop asking questions till we get answers because there's a lot of unanswered questions here. Quick break. We'll come back. And your calls coming up next right here on The Sean Hannity Show.
I spoke to Sean Hannity. Everybody refuses to call Sean Hannity. Sean Hannity. Nobody calls Sean Hannity. I said the war's a stupid thing. If somebody would call Sean Hannity. I spoke to Sean Hannity. Everybody refuses to call Sean Hannity. Sean Hannity. Nobody calls Sean Hannity. I said the war's a stupid thing. If somebody would call Sean Hannity. I spoke to
Sean Hannity. He gives you the latest breaking news when he hits the air. This is the Sean Hannity Show.
All right, 25. We'll put that together. 25 now till the top of the... I like the Obama shots at me better. I really do.
Wait. We weren't done. We have something else to play. Hold on a minute.
Something else to play. There's always something with Linda. She doesn't know what she's doing. All right. Do it again. Hurry up.
How good is Hannity? He's saying.
All right. Are we done?
How good is Hannity?
Not yet.
And he's a great guy, and he's an honest guy. I must tell you, Fox has treated me fairly. Fox treated me fairly. They've treated me fairly. Hey, I'll let you know. You know what? Someday they might not treat me fairly, and I'll tell you about it, okay? But they've treated me fairly. And I don't mean all good. I get plenty of bad on Fox, too. But at least it's within reason.
You know, that is true. It really is true. I mean, we've got so many different opinions on Fox News. I mean, it's ridiculous. Watch the show Outnumbered. They didn't even like the president's speech last night. I was watching earlier today. I'm like, all right, so they don't. Just like you can watch The Five and all the different opinions there. And you can watch the news program. I mean, there are more people on Brett Baer's panel that don't like what I say every night, and that's fine, too. And Martha, same thing. She has people on I disagree with. Tucker has on people I disagree with. It's but then other networks aren't like they're just monolithic. It's just this one big nonstop group think. And I go back to my original comment. Donald Trump can cure cancer. And there's never going to be a good thing said about him by any of these networks. And it was just evident last night. It's been evident. Look, it's really been evident since before the election. The WikiLeaks reveal, the fact they colluded with Hillary. They just, you know, there's no Russia, Russia, Russia. Russia dies, racist, racist, racist. Racist will die, and then it's going to go on from there. There's nothing this president can do. And in many ways, you know, it's sad for the American people. It's sad for people. When is CNN or NBC? When's Jeff Zucker's, you know, band of merry ideologues over there at CNN or Andy Zat or Lax, whatever his name is? You know, when have they ever done anything that's advancing the cause of the forgotten men and women in this country? No, they're just obsessed with taking down a president. Anyway, 800-941-SEAN, toll-free telephone number. You want to be a part of the program. All right, as promised, let's get to our busy telephones here as we say hi to Lola in Oklahoma. You have your own song out there already, Lola. You know that, right? Everybody mentions it to you.
Yes, I hear it all
la,
the time.
La, la, la. I know. I'm sure you get sick of it.
A little bit.
What's going on?
Well, what I want to say is I watched the speech last night that Trump gave, and I do think that he made some good points. However, I think that the media stuff is just getting old. I feel like he's playing into their game, and I get it. Like, I agree with him. They are treating him unfairly because I had not been watching all of his speeches, but I had been hearing about, well, this is all he said about this, and this is all he said about that. And I had to actually do research and look him up and look up what he said.
Why don't you listen to this show and watch my TV show? Because I had been laying out everything he did say, his history of disavowing, condemning, denouncing, renouncing, David Duke, the KKK, white supremacism. I mean, we've got it back going to Larry King show in 1991 and Matt Lauer in 2000 and how many hundreds of, you know, dozens of times during the last election and how many times after Charlottesville. It doesn't matter what he says. They're going to lie. They're going to distort. They're going to misrepresent. And the only difference between Trump and Republicans is Republicans took it for all these years. And while I thought it was important last night, and it was a lot of time, there's no doubt about it. Well, I thought it was important. If you got a group of liars And that's what they are. Every day trying to brand you a racist. And you've got the microphone and you got the bully pulpit and you get a chance to push back and give a timeline and tell the truth about something as horrific as being called a racist and point out all the times they'll never point out to you, then to me, it was worthwhile for the president to do it. Because there's nothing, you label somebody a racist and it's false and it sticks, that's the narrative that stays with you. And he was like, I'm not going to take this lie and injustice. And for that, I can't blame him. It is his name. It is his character. It is his reputation. And so fighting back to me was the right thing to do.
I agree. I just feel like there was a lot of time used up on that when there was more pressing issues that should have been addressed. And I feel like, you know, he is right, though. The media panders to this never-Trumper people that are still out there that are so anti-Trump that it doesn't really matter what he says. They don't care anyways. You know, they're just going to go with what they hear.
They don't care about the truth. They don't care about the forgotten men and women in this country. They don't care. And they are now, they're basically the extension of the ideological left in America. CNN is not a news network. NBC, MSNBC is not a news network. They are a conspiracy theory network. You know, they belong next to the sci-fi channel on your cable channels. It just is what it is. It's not fake news. It's fake, phony, lying news, and it's slander news. I will tell you this. I've gotten to the point where if you get slandered the way they slander, you ought to be able to at some point take it to court when they tell one lie after another. And nobody should ever listen to any of these anonymous sourced reports anymore because they just make them up. They're just not telling you the truth anymore. So you can't depend on them. You can't count on them. We knew from WikiLeaks. Nobody ever wanted to talk about WikiLeaks and their big reveal that they colluded with Hillary. So we've got an opportunity here. Americans, I think, got an education last night. I've been making very similar points on my own, and I'm just going to continue to be. You know, one of the reasons I think we're successful here, Lola, is that we're not them. We're not sheep. We do our own work. We do our own research. We come under heavy fire for being who we are, which is very independent. And we have a fidelity to the truth that they don't have. One thing you never hear from these people either. They don't care about men and women in poverty on food stamps and out of the labor force. I do. And if they did care, you'd hear them talk about it. You'd hear them talk about solutions. They never do. So I'll give you the last word. You riled me up, Lola. What did you do to me?
I agree with everything that you're saying. And one point that I would like to make is that I don't think it's fair to actually call some of these networks news networks because I don't feel like we're getting news. I feel like we're getting opinions more than anything.
It's not even a pin. You're getting an ideology rammed down your throat.
Exactly.
And under the guise of news. They're not news. Anyway, Lola, thank you so much. God bless you. Glad you called. 800-941-SHAWN. You want to be a part of the program. My buddy Wayne Dupree, at Wayne Dupree Show on Twitter, longtime friend. How are you? Glad you called.
Hey, big brother. How you doing? How's everything?
How you doing, my friend? What's going on?
Look, let me tell you something. I had a big smile on my face when you got mentioned last night on the stage. I was like, yeah.
All of a sudden, my phone starts going ding, 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 ding.
Yeah, you got called out.
I got called out. You know, my whole life I got called out usually for getting in trouble. I mean, so I'm kind of used to it. What's going on, my friend?
Well, listen.
By the way, how's your team doing? How's Cambry and company doing?
Listen, the whole show is moving forward. YouTube's trying to take it down, but whatever. You know, they're killing us, man. They're killing us. But listen, I can't get over the ESPN benching of Mr. Lee, Mr. Robert Lee, Asian American.
You gotta have a sense of humor about this.
Can you believe that? I mean, look, Sean, I knew liberals had tissue paper feelings, but you know, when Trump beat Hillary, but this is another level. I mean, I'm glad that they don't have Abe Lincoln, the Earps, Wild Bill Hickok, or Calamity Jane over there, or they would be sidelined too.
But, you know, I'm just sitting there and I'm thinking, wow, you know, the man happens to be an Asian American. ESPN pulls this poor guy off the show because of his name. And I'm thinking, wow, this is really twisted and sick. Listen, I feel sorry for the guy. I really do. But it's so bad and dumb. It's funny. I can't help laughing.
And Sean, and just a few minutes ago, I just read that ESPN is sort of angry that the word got out because it sounded like their attitude was he didn't have a problem with it, we didn't have a problem with it, and it's okay. But somebody wanted us to get in trouble, and they leaked it. It's not okay, you know.
It's not. Listen. You know what? I don't even know how to respond to this.
You laugh at that.
I don't even listen. It's so twisted and so dumb, and it's so typical of the world we're living in. I mean, I don't know what to say. You know, God forbid if Linda ever worked at ESPN.
What's that supposed to mean? First of all, I would never work there because I don't know anything about sports.
No. You would never survive a day. You'd never survive an hour. There's no way.
Well, thank you for the support, guys. I really appreciate it that you're having such a good time at my expense.
Listen, I wouldn't survive an hour, nor would anybody on my team survive an hour. We have way too much fun.
I'm cheering, Ron.
Oh, man. All right. I got to roll. Wayne, love you, my friend. God bless you. And invite me on your show again. I had a good time last time.
All right, thank you.
That's one of the few interviews. I'm only going to do interviews with my friends. I'm not doing interviews. Did you see that the New York Times was trying to get me to do a New York Times Sunday cover? I'm like, oh, yeah, I'd love to be on the cover of fake news. Was that a real laugh?
Are you okay?
Yes, we're all laughing in here.
I'm just, I can't believe this poor guy got fired over this or got pulled off the show over it.
You sound really broken up. Jeez.
No, it's pathetic. But
supposedly he's not fired. He's been switched.
Okay.
So switched. He's been switched.
Because his name was Robert Lee.
I just think it's really wrong that this poor man, like, you know, at the moment of his birth.
All right, let's go through the list of everybody on our team. Would Linda make it an hour at ESPN? Let's have a vote. No.
Other than the fact that I know nothing about it.
I don't even know. How does Stephen A. Smith survive?
Well, see, he's my really good friend. So if I ever
Our really good friend.
He was my friend first. You adopted him after
He's your friend first. Jason wouldn't survive a minute. You know what? Just because he goes to Coyote Ugly, he can't survive.
I might get a promotion just for going to Coyote Ugly at ESPN.
On this program, you can do whatever you want. We don't really care.
At least he likes sports. That's a step up from Linda. It's too politically correct for Linda to ever survive there, but Jason might stand a chance.
Well, Jason loves sports, actually. By the way, who's going to win the McGregor fight, Jason?
Oh, I think Mayweather is going to kill him because you're more of an MMA guy than me, but they basically took away one of McGregor's weapons. He can't use his legs.
He's not a great boxer. Basically, it's bare knuckles. I mean, the gloves you put on MMA are just that covers your knuckles. And I'm telling, they took away McGregor's profession and they said, just use the one tool out of 1,000 you got. It's like, I don't know. If he does, they got 8-ounce gloves. If they were down to 6, I think if I'm Mayweather, I'd be very nervous. Because if McGregor tags him and McGregor can take a bigger punch than Mayweather can, I don't know.
Are you going to pay $100 for this?
Yeah, I can't miss it. I have to watch. I was thinking of going out there. I hate to fly out that far, and I hate crowds, but otherwise,
if this
I'd
thing
be
goes
there.
Like a round or two rounds, aren't you going to feel cheated?
Because
this isn't a fair fight.
I love McGregor. I'm just a huge McGregor fan. And listen, I admire Mayweather, but I can't stand the way he boxes because he never engages. He just dodges around.
Oh, yeah,
around
he just runs.
Ring.
Yeah, he's unwatchable.
It's unwatchable. And I'm like, just get in there and fight. You know, if you lose, you lose. So what? Go in there and throw some punches. The only reason the curiosity factor is this: if McGregor can tag him a couple of times, then we might have a fight. And yeah, but I mean, 90% of what McGregor does is taken out. It's like he really is fighting with two legs tied behind his back. It's true.
Well, he agreed to do it, so.
Well, it's a huge payday. Let's be honest. I mean, he's going to get paid a boatload of money. I mean, he's going to get paid a fortune, and he's not. You got to remember, 4 years ago, he was living with his parents. This guy, and he's fought his way to the top. He's a brawler. He is a warrior in every sense of the word. That's why I love MMA. It's real, real fighting. I mean, original MMA was you could do anything, but you obviously can't get sanctioned to fight anywhere if you can do anything like eye poke and kick anywhere. So, but the rules are they're okay. All right, that's going to wrap things up for today. Hannity tonight, 10 Eastern, and I've got a nice, lovely message for your lying media with all the tape to prove what a bunch of lying liars they are. Herman Cain, Larry Elder, Monica Crowley, Geraldo, Greg Jarrett, and Sheriff Joe Arpaio. He's going to be just fine, the president says. All right, so set your DVR. That's all coming up. The news you won't get from your lying media. That's what we do differently. 10 Eastern tonight, Hannity on the Fox News Channel. Thanks for being with us. We'll see you tonight at 10. We'll see you back here tomorrow.